December 9th. We begin today as usual in the Old Testament, and we'll actually begin reading in a new book today, the book of Joel. Let me give you an overview of what's going on here. The prophet Joel ministered in Judah at a time when drought and a plague of locusts had devastated the economy. He used the phrase, the day of the Lord, to describe both their present calamity and the future judgment that would come upon the whole world. God's army of locusts was but a picture of a future army that would invade the land in the last days. Joel called the nation to repent and promised that the Lord would forgive and bless them. He also promised blessings in the last days when Israel's tribulation would be ended. God's message of judgment is not left without a promise of hope. Campbell Morgan wrote, "It is always the day of the Lord. No matter what calamities may come to men and nations, He's always in control, and these calamities remind us of the greater judgment yet to come." Our reading today will be from the book of Joel, chapter 1, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 3, verse 21. See that the prophet gives us four instructions to follow when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances. Instructions that should be heeded by individuals and nations. We are to hear, that is, listen to God's word and let Him interpret events for you. God raises up people to encourage us to turn to Him for help. And we need to be awake. When Joel looked at the dying vines and trees, he addressed the drinkers and told them to wake up and weep. But they should shed tears not because the wine is gone, but because their sins have brought judgment on the land. And we'll read about the need to lament. The fields, orchards, vineyards, flocks, and herds were all ruined. And Joel called for the farmers to lament and for the priests to repent. And he said, it's time to seek the Lord. And we are to cry out. The prophet set the example by crying out to God for His mercy and help. We need to do the same today. Perhaps he claimed God's promises in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You see, it's not enough to weep over the sad consequences of our sins. We must also weep over our sins. All right, with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. December 9th, Joel chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 3, verse 21. The Lord gave this message to Joel, son of Pethuel. Hear this, you leaders of the people, everyone listen. In all your history, has anything like this ever happened before? Tell your children about it in the years to come. Pass the awful story down from generation to generation. After the cutting locusts finished eating the crops, the swarming locusts took what was left. After them came the hopping locusts, and then the stripping locusts too. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. All the grapes are ruined, and all your new wine is gone. A vast army of locusts has invaded my land. It is a terrible army, too numerous to count. Its teeth are as sharp as the teeth of lions. They have destroyed my grapevines and fig trees, stripping their bark and leaving the branches white and bare. Weep with sorrow as a virgin weeps when her fiancé has died. There is no grain or wine to offer at the temple of the Lord. The priests are mourning because there are no offerings. Listen to the weeping of these ministers of the Lord. The fields are ruined and empty of crops. The grain, the wine, and the olive oil are gone. Despair, all you farmers. Wail, all you vine growers. Weep, because the wheat and barley, yes, all the field crops, are ruined. The grapevines and the fig trees have all withered. The pomegranate trees, palm trees, and apple trees, yes, all the fruit trees, have dried up. All joy has dried up with them. Dress yourselves in sackcloth, you priests. Wail, you who serve before the altar. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God. There is no grain or wine to offer at the temple of your God. Announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. bring the leaders and all the people into the temple of the Lord your God, and cry out to him there. The day of the Lord is on the way, the day when destruction comes from the Almighty. How terrible that day will be. We watch as our food disappears before our very eyes. There are no joyful celebrations in the house of our God. The seeds die in the parched ground, and the grain crops fail. The barns and granaries stand empty and abandoned. How the animals moan with hunger. The cattle wander about confused because there is no pasture for them. The sheep bleat in misery. Lord, help us! The fire has consumed the pastures and burned up all the trees. Even the wild animals cry out to you because they have no water to drink. The streams have dried up, and fire has consumed the pastures. Blow the trumpet in Jerusalem. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. Suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a mighty army appears. How great and powerful they are! The likes of them have not been seen before and never will be seen again. Fire burns in front of them and follows them in every direction. Ahead of them the land lies as fair as the Garden of Eden in all its beauty. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like tiny horses, and they run as fast. Look at them as they leap along the mountain tops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of a fire sweeping across a field, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with fright. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like trained soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right place. They lunge through the gaps, and no weapon can stop them. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord leads them with a shout. This is his mighty army, and they follow his orders. The day of the Lord is an awesome, terrible thing. Who can endure it? That is why the Lord says, "Turn to me now, while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief. Instead, tear your hearts. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. He is not easily angered. He is filled with kindness and is eager not to punish you. Who knows? Perhaps even yet he will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of this terrible curse. Perhaps he will give you so much that you'll be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as before. Blow the trumpet in Jerusalem. Announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. Bring everyone, the elders, the children, and even the babies. Call the bridegroom from his quarters and the bride from her private room. The priests, who minister in the Lord's presence, will stand between the people and the altar weeping. Let them pray. Spare your people, Lord. They belong to you. So don't let them become an object of mockery. Don't let their name become a proverb of unbelieving foreigners who say, 'Where is the God of Israel? He must be helpless.' Then the Lord will pity his people and be indignant for the honor of his land. He will reply, 'Look, I am sending you grain and wine and olive oil, enough to satisfy your needs. You will no longer be an object of mockery among the surrounding nations. I will remove these armies from the north and send them far away. I will drive them back into the parched wastelands where they will die. Those in the rear will go into the Dead Sea. Those at the front will go into the Mediterranean. The stench of their rotting bodies will rise over the land. Surely the Lord has done great things. Don't be afraid, my people. Be glad now and rejoice, because the Lord has done great things. Don't be afraid, you animals of the field. The pastures will soon be green. The trees will again be filled with luscious fruit. Fig trees and grapevines will flourish once more. Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For the rains he sends are an expression of his grace. Once more the autumn rains will come, as well as the rains of spring. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and the presses will overflow with wine and olive oil. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the stripping locusts, the cutting locusts, the swarming locusts, and the hopping locusts. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you. Once again, you will have all the food you want, and you will praise the Lord your God, who does these miracles for you. Never again will my people be disgraced like this. Then you will know that I am here among my people of Israel, and that I alone am the Lord your God. My people will never again be disgraced like this. Then, after I've poured out my rains again, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, and the moon will turn blood red before that great and terrible day of the Lord arrives, and anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There will be people on Mount Zion in Jerusalem who escape, just as the Lord has said. These will be among the survivors whom the Lord has called. At that time, when I restore the prosperity of Judah and Jerusalem, says the Lord, I will gather the armies of the world into the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will judge them for harming my people, for scattering my inheritance among the nations, and for dividing up my land. They cast lots to decide which of my people would be their slaves. They traded young boys for prostitutes and little girls for enough wine to get drunk. What do you have against me, Tyre and Sidon, and you cities of Philistia? Are you trying to take revenge on me? If you are, then watch out. I will strike swiftly and pay you back for everything you have done. You have taken my silver and gold and all my precious treasures, and you have carried them off to your pagan temples. You have sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks, who took them far from their homeland. But I will bring them back again from all these places to which you sold them. And I will pay you back for all you have done. I will sell your sons and daughters to the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the peoples of Arabia, a nation far away. I, the Lord, have spoken. Say to the nations far and wide, get ready for war. Call out your best warriors. Let all your fighting men advance for the attack. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Train even your weaklings to be warriors. Come quickly, all you nations everywhere. Gather together in the valley. And now, O Lord, call out your warriors. Let the nations be called to arms. Let them march to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I, the Lord, will sit to pronounce judgment on them all. Now let the sickle do its work, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread the vine press, because it is full. The storage vats are overflowing with the wickedness of these people. Thousands upon thousands are waiting in the Valley of Decision. It is there that the day of the Lord will soon arrive. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will no longer shine. The Lord's voice will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem, and the earth and heavens will begin to shake. But to his people of Israel, the Lord will be a welcoming refuge and a strong fortress. Then you will know that I, the Lord your God, live in Zion, my holy mountain. Jerusalem will be holy forever, and foreign armies will never conquer her again. In that day, the mountains will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow with milk. Water will fill the dry stream beds of Judah, and a fountain will burst forth from the Lord's temple, watering the arid valley of Acacias. Egypt will become a wasteland, and Edom a wilderness, because they attacked Judah and killed her innocent people. But Judah will remain forever, and Jerusalem will endure through all future generations. I will pardon my people's crimes, which I have not yet pardoned, and I, the Lord, will make my home in Jerusalem with my people. December 9th. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, we begin our reading for the first time today in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. Let me say a few words about the book of Revelation. John was a Roman prisoner on the Isle of Patmos when God gave him this revelation of Jesus Christ. The book reveals Jesus Christ, the priest king, the judge of the churches, the creator, the redeemer, the Lord of history, the conqueror, and the bridegroom. The key name for Christ in this book is the Lamb. John never lets you forget that Jesus died for the sins of the world. Now, another key word is throne. It's used over 40 times. The revelation describes the conflict between the throne of the Lamb in heaven and the throne of Satan on earth. As John writes, he depicts worship in heaven and warfare on earth. And the Lord is the victor. Listen, no matter how dark the day or how strong the forces of evil, the Lamb of God wins the victory. The key verse is in chapter 1, verse 19. John is told to write, "The things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this." Revelation chapter 6 through 19 parallels Matthew 24 and Mark 13 in describing the day of the Lord, or the tribulation. While good and godly people disagree on the details of interpreting John's numbers and symbols, most do agree that the last days will be marked by the increase of evil, the rise of a world government and world ruler, the attempt of Satan to destroy God's people, the pouring out of God's wrath on a rebellious world, and the return of Jesus Christ to deliver his own and establish his kingdom. Well, as you listen, don't get lost in the details, but try to see the big picture. And keep in mind that John wrote this book to encourage believers who were going through persecution. Revelation is the climax of the Bible, the fulfillment of what God started in Genesis. And in chapter 1, we'll see that before John describes end-time events, he describes the Lord Jesus and reminds you and me of who he is and what he has done. According to verse 5, he is the faithful witness, the prophet, the firstborn from the dead, the priest, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. In other words, he's king. He's also the Savior, who has made his people a kingdom of priests. Never forget that Jesus shed his blood for you, and that his blood cleanses, redeems, and overcomes. Now, when John was in the upper room with Jesus, he leaned on Jesus' bosom. But when he saw the glorified Christ, he fell at his feet as a dead man. Like John, we must begin with worship if God's revelations in this book are to have any meaning whatsoever to us. One day there shall be no more death, because Jesus has conquered death. When you know him as Savior and Lord, you need not fear the future. He has the keys in his hand. And with that, let's begin our reading now in the New Testament in the book of Revelation. December 9th, Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him concerning the events that will happen soon. An angel was sent to God's servant John, so that John could share the revelation with God's other servants. John faithfully reported the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, everything he saw. God blesses the one who reads this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to it and obey what it says. For the time is near when these things will happen. This letter is from John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, from the sevenfold Spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead, and the commander of all the rulers of the world. All praise to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. He has made us his kingdom and his priests who serve before God his Father. Give to him everlasting glory. He rules forever and ever. Amen. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the nations of the earth will weep because of him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. I am John, your brother. In Jesus we are partners in suffering, and in the kingdom and in patient endurance. I was exiled to the island of Patmos for preaching the word of God and speaking about Jesus. It was the Lord's day, and I was worshiping in the Spirit. Suddenly, I heard a loud voice behind me, a voice that sounded like a trumpet blast. It said, "Write down what you see, and send it to the seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were bright like flames of fire. His feet were as bright as bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was as bright as the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one who died. Look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. Write down what you have seen, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen later. This is the meaning of the seven stars you saw in my right hand, and the seven gold lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Psalm 128, verses 1 through 6. This song parallels Psalm 112 and reminds us of the blessings God sends when you fear the Lord and walk in obedience to his word. God will bring you enjoyment in employment, so that your work will be a blessing and not a curse. Your work will be a ministry for the Lord, and God will bless you at home, beginning at the heart of your home, your spouse, and touching everybody else around the table. Your home will be a fruitful garden, not an ugly desert. The blessing will then spread to the city and the nation, and it will go from generation to generation. Psalm 128, verses 1 through 6. A song for the ascent to Jerusalem. How happy are those who fear the Lord, all who follow His ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How happy you will be. How rich your life. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine, flourishing within your home. And look at all those children. There they sit around your table, as vigorous and healthy as young olive trees. That is the Lord's reward for those who fear Him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren. And may Israel have quietness and peace. Proverbs 29, verse 18. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is happy.